In the case of Wisconsin K-12 schools, enrollment has been on a steady slide. In the 2024-25 school year, there were 68,000 fewer students than in 2005. Enrollment figures for this year aren't tallied until the third week in September. Declines in school populations mirror declines in the state population and birth rates. School buildings being emptied out is happening all over the state. An issue lawmakers are hoping to address this fall by helping districts consolidate.
Because student enrollment is the primary driver of our state school funding formula, districts experiencing declining enrollment receive less money in state aid. So to make up for this, many districts go to referendum and they raise local property tax bills to pay for increasingly empty buildings. The already heavy burden on taxpayers will only get worse over time.
This is especially true for rural districts. We look at two of them now embarking on consolidation in the small Clark County cities of Loyal and Greenwood. For more on this, we turn to Greenwood District Administrator Joe Green and Loyal Administrator Chris Lindner. And thanks to both of you for being here.
You bet. Thank you very much for having us.
So, Joe, first to you, what is the Greenwood District student population right now, and how has it fallen over the years?
Our 4K through 12 numbers are, they fluctuate a little bit between about 350 and 370. And it is on a slow decline. It's been on a slow decline for a number of years. It ebbs and flows a little bit, but overall, you know, it's been on a decline and it continues to decline. I do think we've reached a little bit of a plateau. Like I think we've steadied that a little bit. We've been real stable in the 350 area for the last 5 or 6 years.
What about in Loyal?
I would say in the last handful of years, we have gone from approximately 530 down to 480 in our 4K-12 district. Our senior class is one of our bigger classes at approximately 48. Mm-hmm. And then our junior class has 44, 43. Those are significantly the larger classes that we have throughout our building. Then after that, and then you are getting down to the mid to high 30s. You might have a 40 in there. And once we get down into fifth grade and below, then it takes another drop of another, maybe down to mid to low 30s per class. So we have seen a continuous decline. I think we will plateau after our juniors leave after next year. So, but that's a lot of money that walks out the door when they leave and your 4K come in and cannot, you know, you're losing 5 to 10 kids per year. That gets to be hard.
And so, Joe, are these enrollment numbers kind of the tipping point for what prompted the moves to consolidate?
It's definitely one of the factors. It's a significant factor. I think that, you know, when you think about factors of why we look to consolidate, it's the declining enrollment paired with the increasing difficulty to hire highly qualified staff, which is then also, you know, paired with creating more opportunities for our kids and maintaining the opportunities that our kids need to be college and career ready when they leave the district.
How difficult is this process?
It gets to be extremely, just because in Clark County, probably 15 years ago, we had influx of Amish move in, buying up farms and things like that. And now within the last maybe 5 to 7 years, Mennonites have come in and have, I would say, an influx of them, and they are buying up farms. And between that and so I wouldn't say it's just Loyal and Greenwood. I believe we are trying to do something before it gets to be too bad, where you don't have any students coming in or very, you know, I mean, you're declining enrollment. You just, you can't deal with it because you're asking taxpayers for so much money in a referendum, operating referendum. So that's becoming a bigger, I wouldn't say hassle, but just the situation is difficult because you don't have the kids there. And throughout our county, every district is seeing that.
So how does the kind of influx of Amish or Mennonite people factor into this?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, they're valuable people to our to our community. They provide a lot of services, and they pay the same taxes that other people do. But they don't. They have their own schools, so they're not sending their kids. So the farms of the past that used to, raise kids and send them to public schools, are largely owned by the Amish and Mennonite communities, and they operate their own schools. So those kids are no longer coming. So that is probably the main reason why we're seeing in Clark County a population decline within our public schools.
What is the mood among residents for and families for this consolidation?
So I'll go ahead. So this has been something has been talked about since 1960. That is when I believe a big push was to consolidate. You had a lot of consolidation going on in the early 60s. So talk has been there for 65 years or so. Back in early 2000s, they had in 96-97 they had a big push because to talk about it, because districts were looking at expanding capital referendums, and it was talked about, but nothing was done. Early 2000s, I think it was approached once, if not twice. Actually, had a vote on it, had a study done with it. And it did not pass. So it seems like every 20 years, this continues to come up. And we are at 2025-26 school year. I believe community members, families are ready to make that move. I know there's questions out there. We have done a number of things in the last two or three years to help alleviate some of the pain with co-opting a number of sports. Our marching band is co-opted. We share some students back and forth for classes, some of your higher end classes that may not run or you run with three or four kids. Now you can add some more kids to make it a little more efficient for that teacher. But I really see both communities, which according to the advisory vote that we had last spring, are for it and want to do something moving forward to help alleviate. And what I'll say is higher taxes and the operating referendums.
Because, Joe, if and when, I guess, these schools are consolidated, that will mean that the district would not have to seek operating monies from a referendum?
No, what it means is our plan is to significantly reduce the amount of need for operational referendum. With the funding formula we would still be, you take two districts that are in declining enrollment, put them together, there's still going to be one district in declining enrollment. And when you have that formula, it's a recipe for disaster when it comes to operational referendums. We will rely on operational referendum. Right now, between the two districts, we rely on between $3 and $3.5 million in operational referendums each year. So to just to turn the lights on and keep the doors open and keep operating the way we are, our hope is to significantly reduce that, and we haven't flushed out the amount, but I don't think it's unreasonable to have a goal at, you know, $1 million less in operational referendum needs, maybe more. But I don't think that's an unreasonable goal.
Chris, what are the opportunities that a consolidation represents?
I think a lot of our services can be joined from two different districts into one. Our CISA would be one. And just working together with some of the specialty areas that you need to have CISA for, speech and language, that are two little districts. We do share some things, but those are things that are crucial that we can't afford, and we rely on CISA for some of that assistance. And I think having under one would be a benefit. Other opportunities is
I'll say some of the opportunities are going to be in our courses. You know, when we have small class sizes, so when you start looking at combining some populations, you're giving kids more opportunities to compete and work with students of like needs, where sometimes we have singletons that need certain needs, or you know, even some of the higher level learning can be challenging to provide for some students. But now when you mix a couple groups together, you're sharing some of those needs. There's going to be opportunities in, say, tech ed. You know, between Loyal and Greenwood, we have two tech ed programs, and we offer very similar courses with small numbers of kids in classes, you know, some of the classes. So when you put two programs together, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to reduce staff. What it hopefully can mean is that we are able to offer more opportunities, because we no longer have to, you know, we have one teacher maybe teach welding and for all of the kids, and that opens up time slots for another tech ed teacher to teach different things, whether it's robotics or mechanics or, you know, anything like that. So, and the same thing for some of the general curriculum, you know, right now, and I think, you know, Mr. Linder said something a little bit ago about, you know, some of the classes where we share right now, you know, and I've always used things like trigonometry or calculus or advanced placement classes where we both have a class with, you know, 2, 3, 4 kids in it. Mm-hmm. And we are using a teacher for that class. Well, combined, we would only need one teacher to teach that class, thus opening the opportunity for the other teacher to add something new or add something that we know that our students could benefit from. So there's ways in that perspective, in that light, to create more learning opportunities for our kids.
What are your opinions of the state right now taking an interest in helping districts, potentially incentivizing districts to consolidate?
Well, it's music to our ears that there's some interest. There was interest years ago, and I think I'm cautiously optimistic that they will take interest in consolidation. But again, you know, what I would hate to see is them take the local control away from consolidation. It's not right for everybody. I mean, the school districts of Greenwood and Loyal are going down this road for good reason. And the reasons are, you know, we have a similar tax base. We have a similar mill rate. Neither one of us have debt. We're 6 miles apart. We share the same bus service. There's a lot of things that make sense for our district, but that don't necessarily make sense for every district. So I hope that the state supports if there is legislation, I hope they support the local control that districts have if they decide that this is the right course of action to help their districts out.
Chris, thoughts on that?
I agree with that. And we both have talked to some representatives and just say, you know, years ago there was a good benefit that the state gave for consolidation. It is not there, but we even talked about just like helping out with studies that have to be done things like that. There is a need, and I would say throughout the state, you have a lot of districts that are probably watching Loyola and Greenwood to see what happens there, and could be the pendulum swinging the other way if this does work out, which obviously we hope. I think the last couple of years we've worked very well together. And like Mr. Green said earlier, I think staff shortage was a big push with it and our declining enrollment. And I hear it a lot of superintendent conferences or meetings, just that if we don't start working together, not just Loyola and Greenwood, but all our districts, we will be on an island by ourselves, and it will be a sinking ship or island, whatever you want to say, deserted. So we need to work together and help not only survive, but to thrive.
Are you hopeful this will happen? And when, by 2028, is that right?
Yeah, that's the proposed timeline, I guess. The tentative timeline would be we've been meeting as joint boards for the better part of a year regularly to, work through this process. And our joint boards just earlier this week passed a motion that there will be a binding question on the November 2026 ballot, that if both communities approve that question, then it's a binding consolidation, which then would start the 18-month process to consolidate July 1, 2028.
Okay. Well, we really appreciate you taking your time out today to talk with us. Joe Green from Greenwood Schools and Chris Lindner, Loyola Schools. Thanks very much. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You might have noticed that I took that longer than what we said we allotted for this. So we just want to let you know we'll probably do some, we definitely have to, my producer's like, yeah, we have to shorten that. So, but it was great. It was great. We have a lot of really good information. So thank you.
Good. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Sounds great.
Awesome.
Yep. Thanks for all you guys do.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You too.